and gentlemen, I am your host, Tommy Quinn, back here again with the podcast. As always, with me is Xander Smith and Matthew Breland. Sorry about that. Today, we're discussing three different articles. They're all kind of pretty lengthy, but one is from UCLA, and the title is Estimated Energy and Observational Quarantine Capacity Need for U.S. Homeless Population Related to COVID-19, Exposure by County. And this one's pretty in-depth. It's got a lot of graphs and stuff like that. It's pretty lengthy, too. We're going to use this one to the best of our advantage. The second one is Addressing the COVID-19 Pandemic in Populations with Serious Mental Illness. That's a pretty important one. You know, a lot of people who suffer from mental illness are probably, you know, struggling right now. And then the third one is The Coronavirus Exposing Our Nation's Vulnerabilities. This is an editorial from Judy A. Rollins, who's a PhD and an RN. So she's got some decent amount of experience, it seems like, she's an RN. So is that a nurse? Can anyone confirm that on?
Yes.
RN is a nurse. So, guys, what'd you think of the articles, and what are your opinions about it?
The articles gave really good insight about the places where the coronavirus is exposing, problems in our systems and the way our country runs. Dr. Rollins really emphasized the importance of like having daycare and having the ability to go to a job, because as we discussed last week in our podcast and previous podcasts, like I think that right now record numbers of people are unemployed, so there are a lot of families out there that are struggling because of this virus.
Yeah, and it also kind of talks about too the how there's a big problem with, you know, like children staying at home and stuff like that. And I know schools closing and stuff like that is like it's like lost learning for kids in public schools, because like you really, you know, as a public school teacher, you can't force your kid to go onto the internet on a laptop, just because not all kids have access to that stuff. And also there's a lot of low-income kids in public schools really rely on school to feed them at least once or twice a day, and that's a big issue. My mom's a teacher, so, you know, she's kind of been talking about that, and she's worried about a few kids just because she knows they don't get enough food at home when they're not at school, and, you know, school gives them those two meals.
Look, I got a quote here. It says, for over 30 million students around the country who qualify for free or reduced cost school lunches through the National School Lunch Program, 2.5 million children in the United States who are homeless. About half of the students who rely on schools not only for food, but also for healthcare and even a place to do laundry. So with, like, I know for me growing up for a while, I was on that program. And I know how, like, just assuring it was that if I could make it to school that day, I was going to get to eat. And at least, like, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about food.
Yeah. Those
kids are all now, like, stuck at home. They don't have anything to eat.
Yeah, they don't know when their next meal is.
Yeah.
That's a big, 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 big problem. And hopefully, I hope we'll be able to fix it. And, you know, if this ends sooner than later, I mean, most schools have pretty much closed for the semester, though. So, unfortunately, I mean, I know that some people in, like, the district my mom works in, they've been making, like, goodie bags and, like, a decent amount of, like, sack lunches and stuff like that to give to kids that they know are are going to be kind of hurting and stuff like that for meals. So, you know, just community coming together and stuff like that is what's needed to help those kids out.
For sure. Yeah. On that note, like there are a lot of companies like DoorDash and Grubhub and all those delivery companies. They're practicing corporate social responsibility by providing those meals to those kids that are on the reduced lunch cost program.
Absolutely. So, yes, they should be.
Yeah. And so, and I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of like the dim light in all this darkness right now, because, you know, like Tommy said, it's a community coming together, you know, teachers making sack lunches and, you know, taking care of those less fortunate. So that is the dim light of hope in these troubling times.
Without a doubt. How'd you guys feel about the mental illness article? Benjamin G. Druss.
I thought it was, I liked it. I personally don't suffer with any mental illness, so I can't relate, but I can empathize.
Absolutely.
Because,
I'm with Xander on that.
Yeah, because, like, you know, humans are social creatures and, you know, everyone needs that interaction, but with quarantine, you can't do that. And yeah. I saw an article put out by NBC that said, like, people with eating disorders of all things are really struggling right now because they're stuck at home with all their food, and, you know, they have nothing to keep their mind off of whatever disorder they may have.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you can't go see a therapist right now. You can't go to the doctors and get checked up and stuff like that. And, you know, talk with your doctors and stuff. So that's definitely, you know, dealing with any type of health issue right now is really hard, but the people with mental health are probably, I wouldn't say they're at the top of the list. I don't think anybody's necessarily, well, people with COVID are at the top of the list. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just kind of seems like, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's an article here that says, it's caused, like, the COVID-19 has also caused, like, an epidemic through, like, fear, anxiety, and depression, you know, like, people with mental health conditions could be more substantially influenced by emotional responses brought on through COVID-19 epidemic. That's from an article that says patients with mental health disorders in COVID-19 epidemic by, Hao Yao from, it's a Chinese journal that came out. It's from the Lancet. So, but yeah, I mean, having to not being able to get to your therapist or something like that and being able to talk to someone's probably painful. It probably just sucks.
Oh yeah.
Anybody, someone go. What were you about to say, Xander?
Cut out on my
Yeah, you know, just to that point, like, every resource right now is limited. And like Tommy said, like, the therapist part is just because some people rely on that 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just not having that access could be devastating to those people that do suffer with mental illness.
Without a doubt. Matt, you got anything to say about, you know, just people with mental illness and how COVID has affected them?
You know, I've seen a couple commercials on TV where it's like, you can call this hotline, you're not alone. It's basically like a mental health hotline.
Mm-hmm.
They've been broadcasting on TV. And I know we've all gotten the emails from the St. Mary's counselors.
Yeah, they're open 24/7 and stuff like that.
It's a little interesting to me. Like, I see, like, all the support that is coming out and the resources that are trying to be made available for it. But honestly, my personal opinion is that stuff is not the same as, you know, walking into your counselor's office or your therapist's office and sitting down and being face to face with them and having a conversation, because at least then, like, you know, there's no way, like, it's going to leave that room.
Mm-hmm. It's confidential.
When it starts getting over the internet or over the phone, there's always that, like,
what if this phone call is being recorded? What if this person forwards this email to someone? Like,
I feel like that just scares a lot of people. Because yeah. I know me personally, I would never, like, call somebody on the phone and tell them all my problems. Like, that's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, no,
I know totally who's sitting there on speaker behind the phone. Like, I don't know if I'm just like a cautious person or whatnot, but
yeah, and like, you know, you always build that relationship with your doctor, and doing it over the phone, you don't know if you're talking to just some bum or, you know, an actual like medical professional. You know, because like you never know who's on the other end of that line.
And you also don't know if that person's like focused on you, like you're getting that bite of attention. If it's their job to listen to you, and you know, they just got you in their AirPods while they're cooking dinner and dancing,
working out, or something like that.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. That's my thoughts on it.
So I guess maybe we'll end with that, you know, if you know someone who's got mental health issues and they can't get to their therapist or something like that, you know, maybe
y'all could maybe
give them that empathy and that sympathy and, you know, try and help them in any way you can. And, you know, if you know people who are struggling, trying to get food and trying to make ends meet, I guess, you know, just help as much as you can. You know, we're a community and we're only going to get through this if we get through it together, I guess. Huh?
Agreed. Yep.
Nobody's alone right now. May seem yes, like sir. It. Everyone's in the same boat.
Yes, sir. So, you know, that'll do it this week. Pretty good conversation, as always. I'm Tommy Quinn with Xander Smith and Matthew Freeland. We will see you at the same time.